A little bit off the beaten path, and the topic is shuckling. What is this all about? There's an apocryphal explanation given for shuckling. Some say that back in the day they didn't have enough svarim to go around. They only had one sefer, and they put it on the shtender, on the bima, and one person would look in, then he would take a step back, someone else would lean in. I don't know if that's accurate. I think Rabbi Yaakov Enden writes that he thinks that's very hard to accept. Although that may, if it is correct, it may also shed light on the fact that, chasen shas, they don't do it anymore, but the Gemaras, that they used to publish after World War II for sure, but going back to Europe as well, huge, huge Gemaras that everyone could see. So I'm not sure that's a real reason, but some say the source actually comes from our own Parsha, which means that the basis for this practice really goes back a long way. There's really two things to discuss. One is the question of tefillah, one is the question of learning. We'll talk about tefillah just briefly. That's not really the subject, but we do find, brought by many, the pasuk in Tehillim, Kol Atzmosai Tomarna. David HaMelech says, Kol Atzmosai Tomarna, all of my limbs, my entire body, will speak the praise that I'm engaged in. It's not just a verbal praise, but it's my entire guf gets into the process of demonstrating that praise and hallow for Hashem. So that could be the basis for shuckling during davening, although there is Yushami that some understand to indicate that a person should not move at all, that the appropriate aim of yira, fear and awe, when a person approaches the Rabbonu Shalom should be expressed with absolute stillness. Halacha l'maaseh, we say whatever person finds is most conducive for their kavana is the way they should behave, but it seems to be that across the Jewish world, people definitely... practice some sort of shuckling to some extent. They say Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he would daven, he would be absolutely still. And they asked him, how come you don't shuckle? Everyone else shuckles. So he said when he was in Russia, in the 1930s, before he came to America, he was once called in by the communists. They were on his back, and on more than one occasion, that's one of the reasons he left, because it was dangerous for him to stay. He was a religious leader. They brought him in for questioning, and they made him stand absolutely still for hours on end. And he said it was such a life-changing experience for him because he had that pachad of what it meant, to be standing before the authorities. And he said, notwithstanding the fact that, some people find it easier to have kavana when they shuckle, but based on that experience, he said, going forward, I'm going to daven as if I'm standing in that same, interrogation, the same sort of fear and awe should be directed towards the Rabbonu Shalom. Getting back to learning, though, so number one, the Baal Turim. You can see it in the Chumash. Baal Turim says that we derive from this week's parsha, Vayar Ha'am, Vayadnu, Vayamdu Merachok. They were standing at Har Sinai, watching, seeing, hearing the lightning and the thunder, and it was such an overpowering experience. Fire and smoke. It really was what was very overwhelming, and they were trembling. Vayanu, they stood at a distance. They couldn't get so close. Like we saw yesterday, taking the three steps back, they also come from Har Sinai. They couldn't stay so close. So that image of awe and trembling is recreated when we open up our sefer to study. We shake a little bit when we're learning as well. That's one explanation. In addition to that, we find the Or Chaim, also one of the Rishonim. He writes that it's not in this week's parsha; it's in next week's parsha. In Mishpatim, we have snippets of the story of Matan Torah, and there the pasuk says, "Vishtachavisa meirachok." The instructions that the Klal Yisrael receive is that they will bow from a distance. In order to be successful in learning, a person has to bow. Right? There are instances where we bow whenever we encounter the Sefer Torah, when we take the Sefer Torah out. Gadlu, we bow a little bit towards the Aron Kodesh. I think lesser known, but this is brought in Shulchan Aruch during Hagel, when the Torah is raised and shown to the tzibur, person is also, when they see the ksav, when they see the letters of the Sefer Torah, they're supposed to bow a little bit. So that may be derived from this pasuk as well, but likewise, from this medrash, in order to fully merit the connection to Torah, through learning, person has to be mishtachva a little bit. And the Sefer Torah Chashashua extends this to understanding Brich Shmei. The words of Brich Shmei include the following line, I am a servant of Hashem. I bow before you, and I bow before the honor of the Torah at every moment. What do you mean at every moment? There may be some instances. What does it mean at every moment? So you want to suggest, while I'm learning, it's this continuous shuckling back and forth because it, again, recreating Har Sinai where there was this hishtachavoya.
That's reason number two, I guess we're up to three. There's a reason brought in the Zohar that the Vilna Gaon quotes. This is really beautiful when you think about it. They asked Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, what is it about Jews that they have to shuckle while they're learning? Which indicates it goes back thousands of years, not a recent development. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said they clearly didn't learn from the Goyim. Goyim don't come and give a lecture and shake all over the place. It'd be very distracting. So he says a Jew has a sensitivity to the fact ner Hashem nishmas adam. A candle is the symbol for a person's neshama. Of course, we light the yahrzeit candles. We have many ways in which we symbolize, we represent the neshama with a candle. A candle flickers. Candle's always moving. You can't keep the flame of the candle still. So when a person sits down to learn, person is coming that closest encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and recognizing that he is a piece of Hashem, as it were. The neshama is extracted from Hashem's essence to some degree. He acts that out, as it were. It's almost hard to stay still when he's learning because of that that connection to the neshama to the ner Hashem. The Kuzari was asked by the Melech of Kuzar, right? The whole sefer is a conversation trying to have a better understanding of Judaism as opposed to other religions. And he asked, why is it that Jews are always moving when they're reading their holy books? And the Chacham answers the Melech of Kuzar because it's actually meant to generate Chom Hativi Machmas HaMaisim Nimshacham Alvavos. By moving, it gets a person's blood flowing, gets a person excited. It's in order to generate a certain enthusiasm about the learning. So, acharei ha'pulos nimshachos alvavos. The more that we act, the more that we create that sense of involvement in what we're doing, that will naturally bring a person's focus and excitement to the table. Shlomo and others write that it can help be ma'ora kavana, it can arouse kavana. If you just sort of stay still, you can fall asleep. But if there's a movement, so that will make sure that a person is focused on what they're doing. I want to add one, maybe it's a little bit of a chiddush, but I think it helps bring together some of these reasons in a very practical way. If you look at this week's parsha, right at the beginning of immediately preceding the Aseres HaDibros, it says that Hashem spoke the following words, Vaydaber Elkim, as called Dvorim Ha'ela, El Bnei Yisrael Lemor. He said all these words, Lemor saying. So usually when we have a pasuk, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, so the Lemor indicates that there's something going to be retold. Part of the instructions were that it had to be relayed. Moshe was told something by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was supposed to share it with the people. But when Hashem spoke directly to the Jews, why do you need that Lemor? Who is he telling to go and say? Those are the only people it was relevant to. So why does that introductory pasuk end with the word Lemor? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that every time Hashem would say something, the Jews would respond. If he would give a positive command, they would say hein, which is a lashon of the affirmative, of acceptance. And if he would give a negative commandment, like lo yilcha Elohim acherim, should not have any other gods, they would respond with lav. Hein and lav. That was the response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. So what you learn from here is that whenever Hashem said something, the Jews didn't just listen, but they bought into it. They made an affirmative statement saying that we are on board. So the Telz Rosh Yeshiva writes in his commentary on the Torah, Pnimei Das, that we see from here is that Kabbalas Torah is a two-way street. It's a process that involves both sides. And as I tell my Talmidim, if you're not taking notes, if you're not showing that active involvement, you're not really fully part of the experience. Zoom and video shiurim are a wonderful thing. But you can also shut off your camera and go to sleep. Baruch Hashem, it doubles the attendance of some of our shiurim, and we should continue taking advantage of the platform. But perhaps the institution of shuckling is a way of saying, I'm here. I'm a part of the process. I'm listening. I'm leaning in to hear what's going on. Because if it was just Hashem speaking and just receiving the audio, it's very easy for it to hit your ears and bounce off and roll away. The more that a person engages closely and physically in the experience, the more it's going to stick, and the more that we are trained towards internalizing the message and remembering what it is that we studied.